This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, Byron Matthews in for Figgy Fig today. They are in the loop and they start now.
Anger has filled the studio. Thanks, at the Sean. Mention of momentum.
No, thanks, Sean.
We're going to have a good one. It's a thirsty Thursday here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. John Lopez. I'm Reginald. What are you doing now?
What's happening? I've got to slap myself out of that funk.
Well, you know what it is.
We were so good yesterday.
It's lights in here. It's the dim lights. That's what's happening. We're going to blame that. Also, it's Fig not being in. Fig again for the second time in what? Like almost a week?
Godspeed.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
And anything in between that you would also like to offer up. Go ahead and hit him up.
Hope you rebound nicely. We're all pulling for you.
All right, so this time it's not that he's moving. He legitimately does have an illness that he's dealing with. So sincerely send your best wishes to our guy.
Does beg the question, would you rather get sick or move?
Ooh.
I'd rather get sick for a few days.
Yeah,
I want to know how sick, but sick.
Moving sucks. Even with movers, moving sucks.
Correct. Yeah. At least with sickness, I get to lay around and sleep. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's ultimately... And that says a lot about me and how I am a fairly lazy individual. I'll say that about myself. I guess this is... I wouldn't say this is better for Fig, but y'all go ahead and... thoughts up, prayers up for our guy Figgy Fig as he has day off. But Byron's going to hold us down. He's going to keep us in line on this day. Get involved with the program. We got the YouTube and the Twitch both up and running. Sports Radio 610 on YouTube, 610 Houston on Twitch. And the text line is always the way to get us. 713-572-4610 if you want to get involved. Riddle us this. Is it really just as simple as communication when it comes to the offensive line? Because it seems like that was the prevailing wisdom in some ways. If you deem it wisdom, right?
Right.
From the principals that speak. Obviously, on Wednesdays, it's another one of those days where you get to hear from D'Amico, hear from CJ. And you start to piece together some of their thought processes as we move towards week 8. This time against the Colts. And again, one of the big stories that pops up again. What will this offensive line do? What will they be able to do?
Yes.
And will they get it together? And so we've been looking for answers. And it seems like for D'Amico, one of the things he points to is communication.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, I've said this before. Every once in a while, D'Amico will give you a little nugget. You know, there's a lot of coach speak in it. He's pretty transparent on things that, you know, he can be transparent on. But when it comes to like, the offensive line, you know, he kind of just sort of leans on vagaries and such or catch words. And the catch word after the game on Sunday and the catch word yesterday was communication. So let's listen to D'Amico talking about communication, because I thought in the next breath almost he did give us a little nugget.
We throw the word communication out loosely. It's a lot of just, at the end of the day, just get the job done. Like, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to physically, like, getting the job done. We know where we got to be. We know who we're on. It's just a matter of doing it with urgency and finishing the proper way.
All right, so that was the second part. And what he said in the first one was about a communication. He was
asking. Well, we can hear that too.
Yeah, let's hear the first one. Let's hear six.
D'Amico six.
Yeah, great question there. I mean, the communication can definitely pick up, and I think our issues have really shown up on the road when it's loud and, you know, it's tough to communicate. That's where some of the issues come out. But I think all of it is fixable, and that's the encouraging part about it. All of it is fixable. Our guys have picked up these stunts and different things that we've seen. Our guys have picked it up before, so I'm encouraged. Right, to see how our guys respond this week. You know, we'll see similar things. Right, whenever one team does something on tape, you know, you have to get ready and prepare for the next week because teams will see, like, have you put the fire out? So it's a great opportunity to see us go put the fire out this week. It's a tough challenge versus this defensive line. They do a great job of executing their stunts really well. So we know, you know, we'll have our hands full again this week.
All right, so that's what you kind of expected to hear from D'Amico, and I'm not passing judgment. He says it's the road, it's the noise, it's communication, et cetera. But then in the first one we heard, he says, really? It's just about doing the job. He said we know where to go. We know what to do. It's just about beating the guy in front of you. So a little bit of a contradiction there, and I think it's very telling. Like you know, all these things that we're talking about, and I said I came in Monday and said this line is just awful. It's just bad. And that's kind of the path he was going down. He's like, no, we know where to go. We just got to do the job. So frankly, Reggie, I don't know if making changes or whatever is really the most important thing, because it's these guys are not doing the job, and he kind of told us there.
Yeah, and yeah. It really is. A lot of this feels like the simple stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about kind of some of the pass protection situations and making sure that you get this together. I mean, if you don't communicate, your pass protection is not going to be successful. Like that feels evident. And going back and looking at it, they did have the most pressure on them in the weeks that they were playing on the road,
mm-hmm.
against Minnesota, against Green Bay. But also, Green Bay and Minnesota, I think, are the two ones that you look at their defensive coordinators and you go, those are the ones that are most apt to do things that make it really tough on you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know how much we can do correlation versus causation in those points.
Right.
But it's not like they've been incredible in other circumstances at home as well. So, like, whatever the communication is, I think that with D'Amico, when he says the guys just have to do the job, I don't think that that is a contradiction. I think that is a finality of frustration, I guess, like where it's like, hey, whatever it is, the answers need to come, right? Whatever the diagnosis of the problem is one thing. Actually getting it done is the
other. Said
it.
He said they've got to get the job done and, you know, with the guy, block the guy in front of you, but that they know where to go, which means that, you know, the communication maybe is not as big as you know, they're kind of using that because, and he protects his players. I get it. I'm not passing judgment, but he did kind of give us a little nugget there, like they ain't doing it.
Yeah.
You know.
And to that end, I think that Titus Howard also gave us a little bit of something interesting yesterday, kind of media scrum. And he talked a little bit to, you know, the Green Bay game and their pass protection and just the offensive line in general.
All the stuff they did, man, we've seen it before. Seen that practice. It just, when you get out there in the game, you get on the road, we just can't do stuff that we haven't been coached to do. So that's the thing. We went out there and did stuff that we haven't been doing. So that's really just being coachable, being detailed, staying in the moment, man, and just trusting each other. And that's the biggest thing. We got to continue to trust each other, pick each other up when we're not down, when we're down. And just keep balling, man, because, I mean, it's going to be ups and downs and stuff like this, but we got to stay together. And we're going to get it right this week, go out there and ball out. And once we get the ball out, I mean, all the other stuff will take care of itself. And so we'll be straight.
I found that to be really interesting. Yeah. We got a text from on the text line. And again, the number is 713-572-4610 from the 713. Bad combo of diva offensive linemen and poor coaching. I think one of the things that you heard there from Titus, it seems like they're accepting some responsibility, which was kind of refreshing, but we didn't see anything that we haven't seen in practice.
Right.
Tell me, like, hey, they feel, at least in their spots on the offensive line, that they have been coached to handle this, and they are accepting, at least Titus Howard is accepting, that it is us that is not making what's happening, making what the coaching has been for us happen on the field. Do you believe when he says that, you know, that this is going to get better, that it is? Because he mentioned words like, we need to stay detailed, stay in the moment, which seems to kind of point to focus and staying on task. Like, do you believe that it will get better?
Well, here's the most important thing. We're 7 games in.
Correct.
You know, we are 7 games in, and they're kind of telling us it's not necessarily strictly the communication. We're not doing, as you just heard Titus say, what the coaches, you know, have coached us to do. What that tells me, and I'm going to ask you this, even the quarterback got into it, in on it now, and listen to C.J. Stroud. He's talking about, we've really been in the right look, but we're just not executing.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I feel like, for me, that's a responsibility that I want to, you know, help with, is, you know, helping Juice and, you know, helping those guys up front. And, you know, I really watch a lot of film to try to pick those things up. And honestly, we're always, more times than not, in the right looks. It's just we got to execute. And that's the main thing, is execution. It really breeds confidence and it breeds wins. So, you know, the more we can just execute those looks that we get, because, I mean, we see them in practice, but we just got to be able to, you know, do it on Sundays. And, you know, once I think we do that, you know, we'll be able to see, you know, just our offense flourish some more.
So when you add up all of what you heard from D'Amico, Titus, and CJ, what does that tell you? Because it does tell me something, but I'm curious because it's like, yes, there may be, maybe not, depending on where we're playing and all and some other things, you know, some communication breakdown. We're not doing what the coach is saying. But there's a common theme of we are not doing it.
In other
words, we are not getting those blocks.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's where the questions have been like, hey, do you need to make some changes on the offensive line?
Thank you. That's kind of where I was going.
I was like, hey, man, I don't know. Right. Like I had been a little tepid in that in response to that on the idea of I don't like we've seen them mm-hmm. do the job in some ways. But that's also I will recognize the fault in that kind of logic just because you have seen this happen before or seen this particular person do the job before mm-hmm. or seen this event happen before. Does not mean that it inherently will happen again or will happen in a consistent basis again. And I think we're starting to get to the point where some of these guys on the line are failing more than they need to. And mm-hmm. I don't know that they can get up to some of them. Like the one that comes to mind is Green, right, for me, mm-hmm. where you're having lapses in capability of handling up with the pass protection. And the pass protection is only as good on the offensive line as the weakest link. So, you know, some of that is some of that I did appreciate the stay in the moment. It felt like some of that is mental mm-hmm. where they need to make sure that, hey, remain locked in for the entirety of the game, which sounds insane to say about a professional, but hey, it'd be like that sometime.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you know, if you cannot keep the detail, you might need to make some moves to have your five best linemen on the field that give you the best chance of being detailed, staying in the moment, and ultimately getting the job done by executing.
I'm on the same page. That's exactly what it told me. And to the point where I started thinking about yesterday when we got our early – keep in mind that you know the people who the media and et cetera who watch practice and report on practice, they're only there for the first period or so.
Yeah, the open
like
period.
Maybe
yeah.
8 to 10 to 15 minutes, depending on the day. And so when we started getting these, you know, these reports of, well, the offensive line is the same five guys that started in Green Bay, I'm starting to wonder if that's subterfuge, if that's a little bit of playing the coaching game and not giving things away, you know, because I'll put it this way. I would not be surprised, despite that early report, and we're going to get another report, you know, today, today. I think they might be changing some stuff. Because when you look at it and they're like, okay, it's communication, but it's not all communication. That tells me that it's execution, it's performance. And we're in week 7. And the Texans are not going to sit around and say, let's run it back, even though the performance is not there. You mentioned it. These are professional athletes. They know about accountability and getting the job done. And, you know, there's always a guy behind you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so I think I wouldn't be surprised if even if we get the same report today, hey, same starting five in the period that we watched, I wouldn't be surprised if it's another starting five or at least an adjustment. You know what I mean? Not another starting five, an adjustment to the starting five.
That's interesting. I don't know that you got enough time to be doing all that.
No, I think they're doing it. I think they did it yesterday after the first period.
No, I know, but I'm saying it's like, I don't know if you got enough time to be doing all that subterfuge to be like, oh, well, we don't want it to be in the media, so we'll keep it out of that first.
But that's what coaches do.
Yeah, and I maybe so, right? Yeah. Like maybe I'm being naive, but the way that I'm looking at this is you're in the midst of a 3-game and what, 11-day stretch or mm-hmm. what have you. You know, 2 games in 5 days here mm-hmm. Coming up once you hit Sunday and then back on Thursday. And like you mentioned, it's been 7 weeks. It is,
yeah.
Right. If you need to get it right, all of the time allotted to you, understanding that in the NFL, mm-hmm. it is so few and far between the times you get an opportunity to collectively come together and actually work on things that you want. That extra period is also useful. So I do wonder if you know.
Right. We don't know what it is, what they're doing.
Sure. Sure.
You know, it could be drills and just running back. Seven on nothing. You know, that kind of stuff, and then they. But these guys are getting reps,
yeah.
You know, and they have played. I mean, Blake Fisher has played. You know, some of these other guys in the past have played. And I'm not like making that prediction, but when I heard what they all said, variations of the same thing, communication. But it's not just communication. I walked away thinking this wouldn't make me feel a lot better about Sunday's offensive line performance
if they switched it up.
No, or if they kept it the same. Would you? I mean, because like. They're not doing it. We're in week 7.
Yeah, the return of DeForest Buckner as well. Like you've got guys on that Indianapolis Colts defensive line rather mm-hmm. that can make it difficult on you. I don't think that they, and maybe this is the words before fall, right? Like famous last words, right? What have you? The idea that I don't know that the Colts are good enough to make you pay necessarily to the degree that you saw with Minnesota or that you saw with the Packers. I think it could be bad, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it could be so bad or that they could hit you in such a way that it'd make you pay in a grand scheme of things. But yeah, no, I think I feel you. Like, I would have a little bit of trepidation coming in, because what is the distinction besides we're going to try harder now?
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that is
this time we're going to do it. You know, this time I really mean it. And I'm trying to, you know, make light of it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying D'Amico Ryans is smart enough to realize we've gone through this 7 times. And yes, it's been worse on the road, but it hadn't been great at home. We saw the Buffalo game, which they won, and the issues they had there. We've seen other games at home that have been problematic. So, you know, at this level of professional football, you know, do you just say, this time they'll get it right? Do you do that?
I mean, it seems like that I would probably put, I don't know, well, I don't be betting. I would assume that that's probably the way that it's going to be handled, at least still right now.
Mm-hmm.
The types of moves that you're talking about are the things that maybe you see in like bye weeks. And I think this is where it's odd for you to have such a late bye week this year.
Sure.
Because it feels like this is the perfect time, if you had one of those week 8 bye weeks, to make some of those shifts that I don't know that you would want to make on the move, especially with this quick turnaround that you're dealing with coming up here shortly. 832 made the mention. Colts giving up 120 yards plus rushing this season, and it's not that great. But again, they're just now getting DeForest Buckner back in the middle. I think that shifts some things. We always talk about the spine of the defense mm-hmm. and how important it is. But yeah, I still lean towards that way. The overall defense has been as such where you can get them. In fact, you have gotten them already in week 1, and you made them look ridiculous.
Last thing on this, because it's not like I'm like, oh, you got to do this, you got to. I'm not demanding anything. It's just so curious.
Yeah.
He did say early on, it's all on the table. Well, is it going to end up being nothing? Everything was on the table, but you don't really grab at anything?
Nothing that we can see.
Yeah, maybe it was an assignment thing or you know, offensive line technique thing that they're changing or whatever, but it was all on the table. We'll see.
All right.
You know, we'll see.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Thursday. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, I was at the Rockets season opener, and I have some passing thoughts.
Hey,
I will take over for I'm stealing this segment, actually.
Copyright infringement.
Yeah, good luck. I guess send your lawyers my way and then we'll talk. But until then, we'll do the segment next.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, man. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atitula. Filling in for Figgy is our guy, Byron Matthews. If you're wondering, damn, where's Figgy? I imagine
I'm wondering.
I imagine he's at home. He's a little under the weather.
Yeah,
he's a little under the weather. So
for the record, not a confession, but I'm still not buying it.
Why not?
Because the guy's got to move. He's still got stuff to put up.
Oh, you think that this was an opportunity? Why would you do that on a Thursday though?
Maybe they had like people coming, whatever. Electric.
Why does it have to be conspiracy?
Appliances.
Well,
first of all, I'm a big fan of conspiracy theories. Okay. Right. You know, you're trained to at least. Not doubt.
Question everything.
Question, you know, everything. Make sure.
What is the government not telling us about Figgy missing work?
The government. And I'm not saying I would not do the same thing.
Oh, okay. See, that's what it is. It's projection. Saying. He's like, man, I would take a day off on a Thursday. That's what's happening there. I appreciate you hanging out with us on a Thursday. We got our guy, Andy Kalu, coming up at 11:20. Talk to him a little bit as we get ready for mm-hmm. Texans Colts. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. We got the Rockets season has started, unfortunately, with the loss. Oh, I've already blocked it off.
You already blocked off the first loss? Are they done? They're done.
We're on to Minnesota. Or not Minnesota. The Grizzlies. Where they play?
Memphis.
There we go. That's the city. The Memphis Grizzlies. I swear I know basketball.
Yeah.
And with that, I am going to take over a segment because we're going to do passing thoughts.
experience, wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just
It's time for the OG's Passing Thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
Except it's not the OG. This is going to be Reggie's Passing Thoughts from the home opener, the season opener for your Houston Rockets. And because now I am at the helm of this segment, I'm going to assume that when he says, I just go in the locker room and I just, I'm going to say that he said shake. I think that Lopez was in the locker room just shaking it. You know? All right.
You know, my daughter-in-law is an attorney, right?
So?
Copyright infringement, all that stuff.
Okay. If you want to get litigious, we can. Go ahead and do that. That's fine. But for the time being, you can't check me. All right. Speaking of not being able to check things. No, I'm just kidding. Let's not start there.
That's where we're going.
Let's not start there. We'll get there eventually, but let's not start there. I got an even better understanding and appreciation for the late arriving crowd of Houston.
What did I say? Right? What did I tell you?
And I understand, right? The Rockets are in a place where there's excitement. There's kind of hope, but they're not fully in that place yet. Mm-hmm. So the season opener, and it's a school night, all of this. Like, I get it.
Oh, boy.
The season opener is, I thought it would be like a particular event where maybe people would be like, yeah, I need to get there.
Yeah.
And, oh, boy, they were still rolling in the first quarter, weren't they?
Bless your heart.
Okay, God bless. I and again, that's less about the city of Houston. That's more about me understanding and appreciating better what these sporting events look like. So we're not going to have that whole debate again because I know people get.
Yeah, these are passing thoughts.
People get real antsy about that. Hey, man. This is a larger overarching one, and I guess we can get more narrow as we go. These boys need to have more purpose in their offense. I know that this was not a particularly great offensive team last year, thrived defensively, these Rockets. And I know that they're trying to improve offensively, get themselves in a better place. In fact, they're trying to help that with some pace, get up and run. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. But it felt like for me, one of the things I try and do, like I'll liken this to football and I'll bring it back to basketball. When watching a football game, one of the things I try and remind myself, watch the trenches, start there. Mm-hmm. And so I'll tell myself before playing, watch the trenches, what's happening there. With basketball, what I'll do is, what are they trying to do offensively, right? What are they trying to get to? And far too often for me, I would watch these offensive sets for the Rockets and be like, I don't know if I have a good answer as to what they are trying to accomplish. Now, in the first quarter or first half, a lot of pick and roll trying to get Alpi the ball or, you know, get these guys downhill and let them attack. Or let them, you know, get Alperen Sengun in the role so that he can get down in the paint and do work. And he was doing that early.
Mm-hmm.
Once we got to the second half, that got real strange.
What you just said is something that I was I jotted down as I'm watching this game on TV. I wasn't there like you.
What?
we go for fun.
Okay.
And that was I was kind of thinking like the Rockets are really good at the easy offense. The transition.
Oh, yeah.
A pick and roll with a lane, a pocket pass to I'm thinking of a particular play where there was a pocket pass right behind the free throw line, and then Sengun came up down the baseline. And that's easy stuff. The hard stuff, and I think that's what you're talking about. The hard stuff, reading which way a guy's leaning, knowing, you know, what they're doing with necessarily, let's say, a back pick or like that, and reading the plays. That's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's understandable to some extent. I understand, like, it's a team full of young dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that last year and probably starting this year, it's a little bit simpler of an offense. And I think it'll get more complex, I imagine, or I hope at the very least. And I'm interested to see at what point in the season you see complexities added and at other levels, because it feels like this offense was very one action and then go, or just feel what you're doing, as opposed to like, hey, there's an action that leads to another action that leads to another action, and you get looks all the way through that, or just not really off-ball movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I would understand not having any off-ball movement where you just have the three other guys that are not involved with that pick
and roll. Well, depending on if it's a two-man game or whatever.
If you have some really great three-point shooters, right, and you have a playmaker that's going to hit them off of the pick and roll that you're running at the top. You don't really have that, so now you just kind of have three guys that are standing on the perimeter. Some other things that I wanted to get to. Hey, man, there's a few times, and I understand they took a whole bunch of threes, right? There's a whole bunch of threes, but there are some instances where you still got to take the open shot. Amen Thompson, I am talking to you, right? Like, there was one of the times, that, I don't know if it was the first quarter or the second quarter, where he gets the ball, and you could almost feel the whole crowd like, shoot the ball, Amen.
Yeah.
And he passes it back up to the top, and it's like, that's the one you need to take.
Wide open.
Some of these you don't need to take. I understand, like, there's some of these shots that these guys are taking where you're like, yeah, you could probably get a better look. You can get that at any time. Work the ball, work the clock a little bit more, and then you can get that shot later. When you get... You get those open looks where it's just like a practice shot.
Yeah.
You take that one.
Well-coached basketball teams, and the Rockets are well-coached. If not now, they soon will be because they Udoka is really good. It's just ingrained in them to make the extra pass, make the extra pass, make the extra pass. You don't always have to do that, and that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that comes with more experience, knowing when to pass and when to go ahead and be a little bit selfish. I think Amen is going to be a really fun piece to watch there all the way through. I understand Jalen Green just a little bit better now. I understand him just a little bit better.
And I think I know where you're going with this.
I want to see. Please tell me where I'm going with this, and I want to see if you were correct.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking about with this game is you got the full Jalen Green experience. You got the totality of what he is. Incredible in moments. And then what did he end up? 4 or 5 for 15 from 3-point range? So, or one of them was 5 for 15, one was 2 for 11. Chucking. And I think that's the best way to put it. You know, sometimes they were just chucking, and that's not winning basketball all the time.
Yeah, and I understand 8-3-2. He can't shoot when talking about Amen. He's working to improve it, and I understand. Let's not take a shot where you're being closed out upon.
Yeah.
A shot where you have a lot of time and an opportunity to set yourself, especially early on in the season, get a feel for it.
Is that what you were thinking, what I said regarding Jalen?
The Jalen Green thing?
The full experience.
In some ways, but also, hey, man, if the offense isn't clicking in some ways, I understand why you go for what you know. Hey, man, I'm going to go get this bucket.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull this one. I'm going to pull this jumper up. Mm-hmm. I can understand where you might be able to go, hey, I can go get a shot. It might be a little difficult, but I can go get one where the offense doesn't always generate one for you.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I will also say for Jalen, on the other side defensively, oh boy, I love his defense when he's locked in.
Yeah.
He was navigating screens incredibly. Like, the on-ball defense was great.
Mm-hmm.
First move, second move, staying with his guy. That Jalen Green defensively, yeah, sign me up for that. I like that quite a bit. He could be a primary defender if he gives you that level of
effort. And it's got to be, the as you just alluded to, it's got to be a more consistent Jalen Green on defense, too.
100%. Yeah. And one of the things that's I don't want to miss, like, in addition to staying in front of guys, his contests are great because of his athleticism.
Length.
Mm-hmm. Looks really good. So, yeah, man, shout out to Jalen, at least on the opening day, making sure to let you know that the defense will come packed in along with that. Hey, guys, no Mark Williams in this game for the Hornets.
And Josh Green.
Josh Green doesn't play in this. You lose Brandon Miller in the second half in the course of this. But the Mark Williams thing is very particular. I know he might not be a big name if you don't follow the NBA really, really closely, but he's a really solid center.
Mm-hmm.
He's not playing in this game. They got Nick Richards starting.
Yeah.
You should be able to do more in the paint than you did.
Well, they did in the first half.
When Alperen Sengun was out here looking like an all-star.
Yeah.
And then when it wasn't that with post-ups, there was drives. There were a lot of them contested, and not a lot of them went. So that you got to be a lot more consistent getting downhill and finishing there. Some other ones. Hey, man, I would like to see, and this is another point of development, I think, a lot of these things kind of in the framework of a young team.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see them be better at passing out at doubles, right? They're driving into the teeth of doubles, and they're just kind of playing through it. I want to see them be a lot better at passing out of them and just look to pass at all even at times. Because sometimes you can see, and I'll now bring this back to Jalen on the negative side, where I understand him, but sometimes looking to pass the ball as you're driving because of the gravity that you generate with how good you are, you've got dudes that are coming booty butt naked open because of you. If you can get them the ball in those moments, you can make those buckets even easier.
Yeah.
And I saw John Morant in their opener. That's the guy you'll see on Friday night here. John Morant doing those types of things. And I think that's part of what differentiates him from being like a really good offensive player to being an incredible point guard in this league.
Absolutely.
Is being able to take that athleticism that scares the defense, bend the defense, and then help your teammates be a lot better. I think that he has an opportunity to be a really good playmaker if he can find that, or even just look to find that in some of those instances. Hey, Reed. When Reed Shepherd learns to see not just his man that's defending him, but the floor behind him, he's going to be a fun point guard.
I think he's going to be really good. And you're absolutely right on that. I'm going to be interested in how much more they implement him, as the lead guy. But for sure, there's a lot there. There's a lot there with Reed Sheppard.
But for the time being, he only sees the man in front of him. And so when Fred VanVleet's not on the floor, or when Fred VanVleet's playing better, because he did not have a great game, the offense can look a little disjointed, a little chaotic, especially with the added tempo.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Maybe finally, screen navigation needs to be a lot better for some of these guards, because teams are going to attack the hell out of that drop defense, and you saw that very early. The drop defense being when Alperen Şengün is involved in that screen and roll, he's just going to step back, and that's giving teams an opportunity.
Wait for the driver if there's one coming, et cetera. You hit everything that I was thinking, or at least noticed myself, except for one thing.
Okay.
The Rockets' offensive rebounding defense. I mean, the Hornets just had – they crashed the glass in the second half, and that's what won them the game. You know, that's been a problem for the Rockets, you know, limiting – second opportunities, but they didn't do it.
Now, these are just notes. This is early. Yeah. This is a loss that you can't have. I mean, you're just 18-point lead that you ultimately allowed to drain away from you because your defense got suspect and you couldn't do anything offensively, particularly in the third quarter. You've got to be a lot better than that. But I think there's a lot of raw potential here. But this is the year when you really want to see that raw potential turn into something that's a full product.
Nothing to be totally discouraged about, but they needed that one.
Finally, my last passing thought. Man, I love seeing Houston, baby. I love seeing the people of Houston out and about. It was a fun time just seeing the people. I didn't even interact with that many people at the game, but just seeing the people of Houston out there.
The vibe, the energy.
Walking past 50 Cent. I forget that he'd be at these games all the time. Like, okay, yeah, that's Curtis Jackson. Cool. Man, good to be out amongst the people of Houston at the Rockets game. And those are Reggie's passing thoughts.
All right. I guess I'll let you borrow that occasionally for the Rockets.
Okay. Do I have to? There's like a custody agreement?
A fee.
Oh, okay, so that's the final Reggie's passing thoughts here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 6-Take. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. This is going to be really important for you listening, so text it in, 713-572-4610. Whose takes on Sports Radio 610 do you least want representing you? Yeah. Who do you least agree with, basically? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
And Reggie Atitula.
Appreciate you hanging out with us in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We were just talking conspiracies.
That sounds like a question of the day for the future.
I've had conversations about conspiracies on air. It doesn't go the way you think it should. but the actual question of the day that we're doing right now, and you can get involved by texting at 713-572-4610. Whose takes on Sports Radio 610 do you least want representing you? So, Lopez, what was the genesis for this question?
Well, first of all, to be completely transparent and honest here, I stole this question from Sean Pendergast, but I thought it was a great one because Beer Belly Sports...
So I can't use the passing thoughts, but you can steal from Pendergast.
See, I explained it. So there's a difference.
Okay, well.
There's really not. But.
So whenever that lawyer comes through, just know that that is Exhibit A.
Yes, okay. Whataboutism at its finest.
Very good.
So Beer Belly Sports is kind of an offbeat type Twitter account, very popular, but it tweeted this yesterday. The Texans' offensive line should be ashamed. They've been so bad, they're literally getting compared to women on Sports Radio 610, the official Texans radio station. Which on its surface I hate already, because I hate when people say, well, Sports Radio 610 says blah, blah, blah. No, it was an individual on the station that said that. It wasn't the station, you know, making a pronouncement or releasing a statement or anything like that. But then Figgy was asking who said that. You know, I got to know a name. And Sean came clean, said we were actually, you know, very much tongue in cheek, kidding around, reading texts from people. About the offense.
Oh, is that the?
So it wasn't even accurate.
Was that the morning where they were
about
doing
9 o'clock yesterday?
Like, oh, they're so soft that they do this.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So Sports Radio 610, you're wrong. Nobody here. The station didn't do it. And even if you say like an individual at the station did it, that's wrong too. It was that they were reading texts and having some fun. But Sean did bring up the question, and I think it's a very, very good one. Who on Sports Radio 610? Would you least want to represent you as their opinion, you know, with their opinion?
Because I almost heard least want to represent you as like almost like a lawyer situation, as like, or as a some level of agent where, hey, this person is going to step in and stand in for you. But yeah, okay, just kind of their takes or what have you representing you. Okay.
Whose takes do you least want representing you of all the Sports Radio 610?
This is interesting. I feel like. I know some places where I think a lot of people will respond, but I don't. We'll get to that eventually. I don't know. I feel like my answer might be T-Mill.
Oh, I hadn't considered T-Mill.
It's not because like T-Mill is bad or anything. I think he just views things from a different lens. Like there's the gambling lens that comes in there, and that I think that's far from where I generally am. Like that was my first thought. Milner.
I'll try to come up with another one, but
which is funny because I like him quite a bit. Like having conversations with him,
he's the best. But what I'm thinking with T-Mill is he's very much an extremist.
True.
You know, like
which is very different,
especially
than
when you read his in-house emails about Brian Cashman and stuff. It's like that's always he's an extremist. But I'm going to go another direction. Least want to represent me with their opinion. I love this guy so much. Don't take it personal. Sean Pendergast.
What? That's not who I thought you were going to say.
And the reason is Sean, when he gets triggered, can go off.
Triggered.
Like when he gets triggered, he can go off. But I think he leans, and I admittedly lean the other way. He and Seth were talking about how I'm more of a side eye guy. I always question things. And that's fine. I'm proud of that, actually. But I think Sean, if you're going to lean a certain direction, is a big benefit of the doubt guy. You know what I mean?
So you're more skeptical. He maybe, for lack of a better term, is a little more trusting?
Yeah.
For lack of a better term?
Homer.
Wow.
What? I didn't say anything.
Well, Sean, if you're listening on your walk, you know how to get us. Let us know how you feel about that one.
You might have to get a run in on that one. I did that on purpose, Sean. I love you.
You don't get to walk back around on that one.
So, like, who would you least want representing you?
From the 713, from the 832, from another 832, Mr. John P. Lopez.
At least he apologized. He says, "I'm sorry, but it's you." Again, the side eye is something I wear proudly. You gotta at least, okay, why are they saying that? Or why is that happening? Maybe I'm just too dug in on my old journalistic
roots. I think you enjoy
being
in that space of like, get the people going.
I do.
In some ways.
A little bit of, not shock value, but sort of get people thinking.
From the 832, I love this text so much. I least agree with Figgy for sure. And I was like, huh? Let me keep reading. Mm-hmm. Because who would pay $2,000 for a microwave rather, shaking my head?
Well, it was the refrigerator?
Well, I don't think he actually paid $2,000 for the microwave, but it was a $2,000
microwave that he got. Yeah.
He got for the low. So really, he was getting a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so that's
smart.
Different.
346 says Lopez because he's a Dodger fan. See what you
true.
Started? See what you started?
Good answer.
That is
good
not answer. True.
I don't know, man. You were out here talking about Valenzuela,
yeah.
Shohei,
mm-hmm.
You're a whole bunch of Chavez regime, Ravina history. I don't know. It sounds like closeted
hey,
Dodgers.
Don't blame me because I know Dodgers baseball. Easily Clint. His logic is baffling sometimes.
Huh.
Well, that's a shot.
Mine was Clint, too.
Really? Whoa!
Wow. Sometimes he comes off harsh. That's the only reason. But I love Clint. He's one of my, one of the funniest guys here.
We're
but,
all
yeah.
saying that. Love you.
Y'all sound jealous. Y'all sound jealous of the hair right now. That's what it sounds
no,
like.
No, because there was one take he had where I thought he was so aggressive, and I was like, damn. I was like, and then I think he had a reaction on Twitter as well, but I was like, you know, that's what he gets paid to do. But I was just like, I thought it was too harsh, but at the same time, he was kind of correct. It's just that the words were harsh.
You know, I can feel that because one of the things that I have gotten, I've gotten a little bit from Clint recently because I'll come up here and watch the game with Sean and Clint and our, you know, engineer Andy Parker, some of the folks that are up here watching it during an away game because I just like being around them folks. And one of the things that I've gotten from Clint is that, hey, man, Clint don't like all these frills that y'all done added to the football game.
All this
circling your hands and pointing for a first down, all this doing the celebrations in the end zone. If you don't hand that football to the official and
act
get back
like you've
to
been
it,
there before.
Yeah. And I don't want to, like, that might be a little bit misrepresent his point. I want to make that clear. But yeah, man, Clint ain't for all of these shenanigans. And I was like, okay, Clint.
Wait, I have a question.
We sound a little bit.
What did he say after CJ did the first down signal? After he got hit by.
Oh, he wasn't happy about all that.
I know. I just knew it. As soon as you brought that, I was like, wait, I think I know which play he's talking about in particular.
Easily Ron Hughley.
Seth and Clint. That's interesting that people like I I would have thought that people would have a lot more respect for the dudes that played the game, giving you game about the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that I have a great respect for those dudes, giving you a little bit of perspective, because you know, when they're talking about those things, that they're coming with a little bit of a, with a little bit of experience. Hell, Seth will tell you sometimes, hey man, I was texting some of these dudes on the offensive line that played to give me some perspective. They do it. Okay, that's interesting.
Tommy says Clint, Ron, and Lopez. Okay, wow.
All right, so
dang.
I would like to,
who else?
I would like to stop the proceedings real quick because something has become very apparent to me in the course of this. Everybody's getting shots except for me. Right now.
That's right.
And that's right. I would like to examine this. Do you find fellas here with me think that is because I am very good at this, or that I'm just new and people have not gotten gotten enough takes to find ones that they hate?
I think it's that. Yeah, I think you should. Rest easy, you're going to be hated.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it, by the way.
Rest easy, you're going to be hated.
All right, very
or
good.
Something you say, I should say, is going to be hated. But that's, you know, it goes with the territory, man.
Seth, because he gets upset easy. Okay. Somebody said 100% Ron.
John Lopez, because he thinks beans never go in chili.
That's good.
Wasn't that last Friday we talked about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they don't. It's stew if beans, but that's neither here nor there. You are new, and I don't know your name yet.
Fair. You know what?
Wow.
Great answer. Great answer. New guy. Someone earlier said, I know he does. He's not technically employed by Sports Radio 610 anymore. John McClain.
That would have been a definite candidate.
But the beauty of that is that he don't care.
He does not.
He has done this a long time. He has been around the block multiple times. He do not care at all. Okay. Very good. Did we accomplish anything, Lopez? Did you learn anything new?
I did.
Okay.
I didn't know Clint was polarizing as much as, I mean, there's a lot of Clint on the board.
I've been on the board. I see. I had to draw it out on the YouTube. Love you, Reggie, but it's you. I feel like you hold back sometimes for the sake of other people's feelings.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, there it is. 713, Reggie should have kept quiet. Now they're going to humble you. Yep. Yep. You know what? I welcome it.
Haven't ticked us off yet.
That's right. And you know what? Let's do that. I was playing.
Yeah.
Appreciate you hanging out with us in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Hey, speaking of the drive, even though there's some of y'all not hanging out with my homies, they will be hanging out with the homie Neville Hewitt, 215. So if you want to hear from the man who stepped in at linebacker, kind of get some of his perspectives from the field level, you'll get to hear that on the drive today at 2:15. That's a little programming note for you. Mm-hmm. All right. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where jury duty is an injury designation nowadays. And this NBA player says that he could take down Derrick Henry.